This past week, I've been reflecting on this idea from theologian Michael Gorman. He works at a university, a seminary in Maryland. He has this line that stood out to me this past week. He says, our life in Christ is inaugurated by participating in the story of Christ. That is, our life in Christ begins with entering more deeply into Christ's story. You could think about this in a lot of different ways. I think about entering into someone else's story. I think immediately of my wife, Anna. You know, when we first met, you're strangers. You don't really know one another. But prior to making some, you know, romantic gesture, or even to some long-standing loving commitment, you get to know their story a little bit better. One of my friends back home, while I was dating Anna in Michigan, one of my friends back home in Pennsylvania, it was always like, how are things with Anna from Iowa? You know, because that's Anna's story. She's from Iowa, and that's part of her story, right? So I appreciate how our Lenten readings place us within the story of Jesus so that we could become more familiar, so that we could participate with it. Because during Lent, we journey with Jesus through the gospel as it leads ever closer to his passion. We know where this is headed. But with each story, it highlights who Jesus is, something fundamental about his character, something about who he is as a Son of Man and as a Son of God. Earlier in Lent, in John 3, we read the story of Nicodemus, Jesus saying, I am the love of God becoming manifest in this world. The following week, we read of the woman at the well in John 4, where Jesus says, I am the well of living water. Last week in John 9, it's the healing of a blind man. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And now, in John 11, we have Jesus saying to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. So these Lenten passages reveal who Jesus is. It's not a matter of just accounting facts and figures, but it's unveiling the narrative of Christ. It's unveiling his story. And so if Gorman's right, and if our life in Christ begins by participating in that story, we got to ask, well, what's the story of Jesus? And then how do I participate in that? So this morning, we'll focus specifically on what Jesus reveals about his story through this passage in John 11. And then we'll consider, what does it mean for us here and now? What does it mean to participate in this story? Starting in John 11, 18. Bethany was near Jerusalem and about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother Lazarus. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother, he would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So what does it mean for the story of Jesus that he is the resurrection and the life? The story of Jesus is one that is focused on life. And the gospel serves as kind of this epicenter within scripture, because we could zoom out, and all of our lectionary readings today are pointing towards this, that Jesus is life. Looking back at the Old Testament, Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones coming to life. He has this prophecy, a foreshadowing for the people of Israel in chapter 37, 13, right? That I will raise you from your graves, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. You shall live. This prophecy is a foreshadow. It's pointing towards the coming of Christ, right? What spirit is the one that leads the people of Israel to life? The Spirit of Christ. So that's looking backwards. We could look forward to Paul's letter to Rome, as we read in 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Paul's instructing us that through participation in Christ's death and resurrections, we experience the defeat of sin now, right? We defeat a victory over sin in the here and now, and we'll experience the defeat of death in all that's to come. I appreciate how passages like Ezekiel 37 or Romans 6 expands our understanding of what it means for Jesus to say that he is life. And what John is doing here earlier in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, this is where it begins. You're probably familiar with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word who was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made was made. Here in verse 4, in him was life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When the Old and New Testament is talking about life, it's never separated from this profound statement of John 1:4. In him was life. And this is the story of Jesus, the story of life, life's sustenance, its flourishing, life's consummation. It's a depiction of a commitment to life that we see in raising of Lazarus. So we see John 1:4, in him was life, played out in a dramatic way in John chapter 11. We see this where it begins again. It says, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him, let him go. So interwoven into this story points to and confirms that Jesus is the resurrection, that Jesus is life. This miracle in John chapter 11 connects back to John chapter 5. John 5 verse 25 says this, I say to you, an hour is coming and is here now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has guaranteed the Son also to have life in himself. The early church said this, because this is why Jesus used Lazarus's name, because if he didn't say it, if he didn't call just Lazarus out, then all the dead in that surrounding area who heard his voice would come out. The claim Jesus makes in John 5, right? That the dead, when they hear his voice, will come to life. It falls empty without John 11 in the miracle of Lazarus. Because what we don't have is Jesus saying to Martha, Martha, theoretically, I'm the resurrection. In an abstract, metaphysical way, I am life, right? But no, as we're reminded, Jesus is demonstrating that is he himself. He is the resurrection, and without him, there's no resurrection, and there's no eternal life outside of him. This is the story of Jesus Christ, that he is life. So what does it mean for us to participate in this story? It's one thing to hold the John 11 miracle kind of at arm's length, or even to like think about it, maybe interrogate it in an abstract way. But it's a whole different thing to enter into it, to participate in it. So how do we lean in? I appreciate within the gospel readings, we always find, especially with this, an invitation from Jesus. It's an invitation for faith. It's an invitation for belief. We see this with Nicodemus. We see this with the woman at the well. We see this with the blind man. And this morning's account with Martha, Jesus demonstrates that as he pronounces who he is, he invites them to believe in who he is. And this is how Jesus relates to us, his followers. It's not through coercion. It's not through rhetorical arguments, but it's by an invitation, by an invitation. We could look back at John 11, 25 to 26. As Jesus says to Martha, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asks a question. Do you believe this? I want you to consider the intimacy of this moment. Jesus asking Martha, do you believe this? You can envision what maybe Jesus' tone was in the nature of this invitation. This is Martha's reply. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's come into this world. So how do we participate in the story of Jesus? It's through belief. It's through faith, like Martha. And if you're like me, I think belief in the resurrection, belief that death is conquered, is perhaps the hardest of the stories to believe. Because maybe unlike Nicodemus, many of us don't really consider frequently being born again or the process of birth. Or considering the woman at the well, many of us don't think and experience physical thirst frequently. Sure, maybe we have a spiritually dry season, but we can overcome that. Unlike the blind man, I think most of us all have a pretty good or fair, adequate capacity to see. But all of us can relate to Mary and Martha in their encounter with death. Because when confronted with death, it's difficult to lean in and participate in this aspect of Jesus' story. It's difficult to believe. I don't want to undermine that this morning. It's easy to elevate the miracle of Jesus' raising Lazarus, that he is the resurrection. But even though that happens, it doesn't diminish the gravity and the depth of the pain we experience. Keller captures the weight of experiencing death. This is Tim Keller. He says this, "Death is hideous. It's frightening. It's cruel and unusual. It's not the way life is supposed to be. And our grief in the face of death acknowledges that." And those who have experienced the cruelty of death knows Keller's quote only begins to scratch the surface of our experience. So to be clear, in John 11, Jesus never says to Mary and Martha, believe and do not grieve. Belief that Jesus is the resurrection does not exclude the gravity and the weightiness of our grief. What Jesus models is this. He says, in your grief, believe. In your grief, entrust yourself to me. In John 11, Jesus models for us, he demonstrates for us a compassionate grief. He enters in and he suffers with Mary and Martha. As we read in verse 33, when Jesus sees her weeping and the Jews who are mourning, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. Again, in verse 35, Jesus wept. Is the one who is life, the one who has power over death, weeps with those who weep. I appreciate how St. Augustine, in his commentary on this passage in John, says this: why did Jesus weep? Except to instruct us to weep with those who weep. So in this passage, Jesus is present with the sisters, and he weeps with them. He strengthens their belief and their faith in him by his presence. And much like Mary and Martha, in faith, we believe that Jesus comes to us and he grieves with us when we encounter loss, when we encounter death. Because Jesus' compassion can be found in the way he has died with us. And notice, I'm not saying he's died for us. Yes, that is correct, but that's not the point I'm trying to make here this morning. The point I'm trying to make is Jesus has died with us. The one who is the resurrection, the one who is life, has subjected himself to our human condition, the experience of the fullness of human life, so that he could assume it all and redeem it all. This is why the early church talks about that which is unassumed is unhealed. So out of his love and compassion, Jesus assumes our mortal condition. He assumes our mortality, and he dies with us. So that by his death and resurrection, through that he tramples the power of death, we are caught up vicariously in his life. So we are caught up vicariously in his death, and from which our lives and the lives of all the saints are caught up vicariously in his eternal life. This is what the author of Hebrews is talking about in Hebrews 2, that Jesus partook of our humanity, that through his death he might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. In his compassion, Jesus dies with us. As one theologian comments, says, our faith does not make us immortal, but in faith we no longer live under the power of death. And everyone who believes in Jesus in his life as in death participates in the resurrection and the life that Jesus is and the life that Jesus imparts. Jesus says to Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Jesus' invitation to Martha is our invitation as well. As we know, our life in Christ is inaugurated by participating in the story of Christ. So may we hope in the resurrection as we continue to place our hope in the resurrected one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.